Hare Krishna. I'm sorry that the last few days I haven't been on live, but I've barely been alive. I got this terrible cold when I went to New Vrindavan, and for me colds get very, very serious. They go to my chest, and anyway, I don't want to get into a whole thing about it, but I was quite out of the picture with fever and other things, so I was conserving my energy and used backup podcasts as opposed to live ones. Today, I gave a class, and it was a long, long prose verse by Shukadeva Goswami, and in it he was summarizing how excessive Bharat Maharaj's attachment had become, and he raises this question. He brought up this question. He says, "O King, how else, other than his past fruit of activities, could have Bharat Maharaj become so blind to self-realization, again become a victim of material attachment, given up his mystic yoga practice, his worship of the Lord, and so on, and become a slave to material desire that came in the form of attachment to this deer?" It was a lengthy class, but one very interesting point, which I'm highlighting in the podcast itself, is then how Srila Prabhupada explains Shukadeva Goswami's question, and then clarifies Shukadeva Goswami's question, and I'll highlight that again. Shukadeva Goswami says, "O King, how else, other than," I'm not reading verbatim right now, I'm just paraphrasing, "how else, other than as a result of his fruit of activities, could the great devotee Bharat Maharaj again become attached to this deer?" And Srila Prabhupada begins the same, quoting Brahma Samhita, "Karmadi Nidhahatu Kintu Cha Bhakti Bhajam." He says that by the practice of devotional service, one becomes free from the results of fruit of activities. As Krishna says, "Aham tam sarva papebhyo." So then Prabhupada says, therefore, it can't be as a result of Bharat Maharaj's past karmic activity, fruit of activities, that he again became entangled. And then Srila Prabhupada gives an answer. How did Bharat Maharaj become entangled? He says he purposefully became, or in other words, by understood the word purposefully, is he consciously, intentionally, despite Krishna's warning, despite knowing better, not being pushed by his past activities, he became careless in his devotional practices, allowed attachment to again grow within his heart, and therefore purposefully he fell down. So Srila Prabhupada's version and that of Sukadeva Goswami's are diametrically different. And obviously Srila Prabhupada and Sukadeva Goswami cannot be saying different things. Therefore, I take it that when Sukadeva Goswami raises this question, he raises a hypothetical question. O king, is there some other way, other than as a result of past karmic activity, that the King Bharat, Maharaj Bharat, could have become again materially attached? It's not the first time that Shukadeva Goswami is going to bring up certain philosophical topics that either require further elaboration or that actually require his disciple to respond and say, "This isn't what you taught me earlier," such as later on at the end of the fifth canto when he's talking about the hellish planets and Parikshit Maharaj says, "Well, how can living entities be saved from hell?" Then Shukadeva Goswami says they can be saved by performing prayaschitta, by atoning for the sinful activities. But by now, Parikshit Maharaj is very clear. He says, but you've already told me that the heart doesn't become clear simply by material activities, which is what atonement is all about. It requires real purification through bhakti yoga. And then the whole story of Ajamil is stated, and Shukadeva Goswami admits it was a test, and Prabhupada points out that Shukadeva Goswami was actually testing his disciple. Was he actually listening to his guru? And he says, Saitarnam Vidimananam Vichatam Makutobayam Harinam Harinam Kirtanam Yoginam Apinirditam Harinamam Kirtanam. That the real method is by Harinam. That's how one can become free from the propensity to again commit sinful activity, because the propensity will remain unless the heart becomes pure from material desire. So once again, we see that Shukadeva Goswami is not just parrot-like repeating some information that he got before, but he's keeping an eye on his disciple and seeing how much Parikshit Maharaj is conscious and aware of what he's saying and applying previous instructions to ones that come later. So when he raises this point, well, how else other than through the result of past fruitive activities could the king have become so attached? Then he was expecting that within his mind Parikshit Maharaj would understand, well, only because he had the conscious desire to fall down, he let himself become consciously victimized by the material energy, by neglecting the instruction of the Lord, because karmat hatinindu kati bhakti bhajam, because past fruitive activities do not have sway in the realm of transcendence at which or upon which Bharat Maharaj was situated. So aside from this issue itself, what's very interesting is the importance of having commentaries in Shastra. Although now that I think of it and discuss it and read it as with Srila Prabhupada's obvious clarification, it becomes very obvious to me that what Shukadeva Goswami was saying was something that had to be qualified by patient and introspective intelligence. However, if I have just read it over quickly, I wouldn't have given it a second glance and just considered, well, I read a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam and kept on going, and it may have not registered. It may have not registered the context and the nature of that question of Shukadeva Goswami and what was actually the real cause or the real answer, which was unstated. It was something that the reader should have understood by that time. But would have I, the reader, understood that without Srila Prabhupada's very clear explanation? No. And that's why it's so important for there to be explanations by acharyas. This is why acharyas give us not only just to elaborate that which is obvious, but to comment on that which is also not obvious, to highlight and to point out these different ways in which either the original speakers or the original author, like Vyasadeva, or the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, is communicating to his audience. And for this, we need to really be so thankful how Srila Prabhupada has very clearly and patiently given us a clear way of understanding topics which are not always so easy. Are they not always so easy for newcomers, but even for well-learned and practiced devotees, things aren't always as they look like, as highlighted in this example. So I thought that that was really something worthy of emphasizing and repeating, the importance of studying well Srila Prabhupada's purports in relationship to the actual texts and seeing these type of very relevant and interesting statements, because obviously they give us proper insight into the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam, and in this case into our Siddhanta, into our philosophy, which is very important. But furthermore, they also give us a instrument by which we're actually teaching and how to teach others. That it's not, one doesn't necessarily always teach and instruct others directly. Which means that, yes, we can use the similar type of device that Shukadeva Goswami has used here, but we just got to make sure that our students, disciples, get the message, as Srila Prabhupada gave us the message in his purports, and that it doesn't go over their heads. Obviously, it doesn't go over Parikshit Maharaj's head because of who Parikshit Maharaj actually is, the great devotee that he is. So, once again, preaching and teaching according to the ability of the disciple and the follower. Two things at the conclusion of this I now conclude, and that is one, that I'm going tomorrow to the UK, although I had some doubts because of just how sick I was, but I think I've sort of turned a bend, and I'll be there until Tuesday. The other is that because of developments in Hungary, the other day I went to see, on Monday, went to see the chief whip and had a very nice, friendly meeting with him. Chief whip means he's the person who is more or less, he's one of the top people in the politics in the country, and he's the person who directs a political party into what their stand is on issues, and when it's time to vote in parliament, he's the one who more or less decides, gives what the party line is on all issues of law that they're passing. And the nature of our campaign now is such that between now and the end of February, Parliament will vote on whether to retain our church status or not. For that reason, I won't be able to go to India, if I go, until the end of February, the beginning of March. I was very keen and very enthusiastic to go on Navadvip Mandala Parikrama. I procured a tent, and I've been really encouraging devotees to go. I still encourage devotees to go, I just have to inform them that I won't be going. So if they go, don't be upset if I'm not there, because duty comes first. And unless something extraordinary happens before that time, then I won't be able to attend Navadvip Mandala Parikrama this year. Hopefully next year. So for all those devotees, and I know I've mentioned it to devotees in England, especially in Hungary, and I mentioned it on the podcast several times, in Russia, devotees in CIS, please take note. I will not be there for Navadvip Mandala Parikrama.